Welcome to The Third Way, a podcast to help us follow Jesus in our cultural moment from Fellowship Bible Church in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Aaron Blanton. In today's episode, Rob and Lloyd discuss divisiveness and polarization inside and outside the church. We talk about what curious and winsome conversations can look like, even in disagreement, and the three words that describe a person living out the third way. Here's my conversation with Rob and Lloyd. Spoiler alert, this problem in culture with divisiveness, polarization, the answer is the third way.
Yes.
I want to start with holding fast to the truth.
That's a great one to start with on this topic, because to me, the very first thing that comes to my mind is we should have convictions. I don't think the answer to a divisive culture is let's just not engage. Mm-hmm. That can't be it. And we didn't see Jesus live that way. So having real convictions is important. There are things that our culture is arguing about that God has something to say about. Now, how we engage that conversation, we'll talk about when we get there. But for now, I just want to start with that thought, is let's have convictions, and let's have convictions based on the truth of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we came out of that message, it was Jesus is the Christ. That's a great place to begin.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And all that that holds and all that it implies. We talk about walk in the light. We've been around this a number of times. I continue to go back to the light revealing the sin, quite frankly, first of all, in our own life. And we've talked about how that moves us to a posture of deep humility. I'm going to talk in the biblical terms for a minute. It actually keeps us in a posture of repentance. Like that's mm-hmm. always close to the surface, mm-hmm. a repentant heart, a deep humility because of my own sin, a recognition that I could be wrong, because that's what happens when light's revealed in my heart. I could be holding the wrong position, et cetera. And it allows me, quite frankly, to engage in any disagreement from a posture that kind of gets to the next lens on our paradigm, which would be love.
And we'll get there in a minute, but I want to camp on walking the light some more, because it's interesting to me how well it goes along with hold fast to the truth.
Right.
Because it's Christ, it's God's truth that's the light that we're mm-hmm. walking in.
That's right.
We do it, Lloyd, to your point, with great humility. So when I think about walking in the light in a divided culture, I think about holding my convictions with humility, but it's a confident humility.
Yes.
But my affect must be humility. And second of all, I think about living what I believe. So for example, if I'm having a conversation with someone who has a different viewpoint on sexuality than what Scripture teaches, I have to ask myself, all right, what does it mean for me to be abiding in the Word as it relates to what God teaches about His truth, sexuality, my own personal self? Mm-hmm. And that creates in me a sense of humility again. Humility and obedience, I think those things go together, and that's how we walk in the light. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very winsome posture in a divided culture.
Yeah.
So then from there, let's get to love without fear. So we're holding fast to the truth. That means having real convictions. We're walking in the light, so living those convictions with humility. And then love without fear. First thing that comes to my mind is actually loving people enough to bring our conversations, or bring our convictions rather, into the conversation, but doing that with curiosity mm-hmm. and winsomeness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the winsome thing is interesting to me, because it's not something you have to put on. It's not something you have to manufacture. It just is a part of your nature when you're walking in the third way. You don't have to make it up, because mm-hmm. it's coming from a real place.
Well, here's the thing. People know if you love them.
Mm.
They just know. I mean, you could be smart. You could argue, you could present your side, and could be so right, but they just know if there's love in your heart for them. And that just makes me even more humbled to go, oh God, your love, Rob, your message, God is love. So it's like, that's a word, it's almost wordless in a sense. People feel your affect, and do they, let's go a little, come up a little bit from that and go, people know if you care about them.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, do you care more about this decision, or do you care more about me as a human being?
Mm-hmm.
And there's that kind of puts us in that posture. And I think, Aaron, you had said earlier around, you know, it's not, you know, we're not out to win. Look, I want to sit down with you to win because I want you to see my side. And this just flies in the face.
Right.
It can't be the goal. A lot of people have heard this expression, but I remember a friend of mine used to say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
And when I think about what you said, Lloyd, about people just, they kind of just know you. You can just sense it. It's true. That leads me to think about Jesus.
Doesn't it?
Can you imagine just being around him? And I think it's why those, you know, what the Pharisees called all the sinners out there, you know, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they were drawn to him. And I think it's because he looked at them and they just knew. They knew he loved them. And he didn't agree with the choices they're making for their lifestyle. You know, I think about the conversation he had with a woman at the well, a Samaritan, and she challenges on some theological issues, and he doesn't say, oh, sure, you have your perspective, I have my perspective. No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, but listen, I want to take you somewhere higher. There's going to come a time where the worship's not going to happen neither here nor there. It's going to be in spirit and truth, and she sensed both the conviction from him, but more than anything else, the love. I think that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to believe that everyone Jesus encountered saw compassion in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But he never let go of the truth. He is the truth.
Yeah. Amen. Rob and I were working around this, and y'all, we're trying our best to keep this practical, cookies on the lower shelf, and so— It's why we're kind of working around these words, these phrases that we're even talking about here around the paradigm, but also attaching a word to each of those phrases. So when we talk about hold fast to the truth, Rob has mentioned this, and Rob said it. He said winsome convictions. Now you think about that. Think about what winsome's almost like a sense word. I sense a kind conviction, you know, from that. So it's winsome conviction. When we talk about walking in the light and that humility, we're using this word with it, a confident humility. Because humility is not, I'm nothing, I got nothing to say. Quite frankly, think about humility in Christ. It's, you have Christ. Mm-hmm. There's no more to have. I have nothing to prove. But I can learn. I can admit a mistake, et cetera. So it's kind of an oxymoron maybe, but it's a confident humility. And then we talk about loving without fear, and that being compassion. And we're using the word courageous compassion. Mm. And we were talking earlier about this word compassion, you know, etymology of this word. Passio is the back end. That's passion, you know, the Passion Week. You know what the Passion Week is? It's the week of suffering. That's what the word means. And then put the prefix on com, that means together. So you think about compassion. It is together suffering.
Mm.
For us as Christ followers, in a divisive world, can I sit with someone that holds a different position and can I suffer with that person? When I think about that, I immediately go to love. Can I love them? What did Jesus say was the greatest form of love for a man to give up his life for someone else?
Right.
Am I sitting with this? I'm going to give my life to this person. You know, I'm willing to. That takes some courage, but that's courageous compassion.
I remember when we were in the middle of all the George Floyd stuff in 2020, and you know, that was on the heels of the pandemic. It was all kind of coming out at the same time. And I looked around and I realized I don't have a lot of friends who are Black or people of minority races. And I remember spending time with one of my few friends during that season, just saying, what are you hoping for? Like, what are you wanting from people like me? And he said, Lloyd, was essentially what you just said. He used different words, but he just said, get in it with us. Mm. In other words, not, you don't have to take our side in all the things that maybe, you know, but suffer, like feel it. Just, you know, scripture calls us to love one another, bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was calling me to, is just bear my burden with me in this.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's such an important thing for us.
You're right. And Lloyd, I want to go back to what you said a minute ago. People know when you love them. People know when you care about them. I'm still reeling from when you dropped that bomb in here. I want to talk about James 3. I think you'll both have a little something to say just to interact around this passage. I want to read it. And then if each of you want to interact, I think it would be a good use of our time. So James 3, 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Mm-hmm. Holy moly.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great passage in our day and time in this divided world we're in, division inside and outside the church. Well, the first thing I think of, that word wisdom, if you think about all the Bible, essentially is wisdom literature. So what James is saying is the essence of God's word to man, you know, the essence of wisdom is, and he goes on to say, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's open to reason. And you stop there and be like, what do you mean God's word is open to reason? Well, it's full of mercy, it's good fruits, it's impartial, it's sincere. Does that mean that, hey, you know, we can make God's word whatever we mean? No, think about Jesus. Again, he modeled this so well. Right. You could almost substitute wisdom for Christ. Hmm. Pure, peaceable, gentle, reason, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. And so it's this incredible blend of conviction, as we've talked about, with this open, gentle compassion that I think is being described.
That's right.
I love that you notice he speaks of the fruit language and the fruitfulness. And I've thought so often in our paradigm, and we've said this, Rob, a number of times, but we'll continue to say it. The center of the paradigm is reality. The center of the paradigm is Jesus. You know, when you keep drilling down there, the center of the paradigm is the Spirit-empowered, supernatural life. It is the life of the Spirit flowing through us as image bearers of God. And so that fruitful language here, you know, consistent throughout the New Testament, of course, I go to, and we go to the fruit of the Spirit. So this is inarguable, and I'm so convicted by this, but when I experience divisiveness, when I'm being divisive, when I see someone, you know, post something that's just I kind of go ouch or owie, and I'm not even social media, so someone has to tell me about it, or I hear someone say something about another human being, and we all know this, and I've said things about other human beings I wish I could take back, but we just kind of throw off the cuff, you know, so and so's stupid, or they're not smart enough, or they're so raw evil, or whatever may come. I come back and I go, well, Here is the measure. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you can hear that rising up out of James, right? The wisdom from above is, why is that? Well, it's the same Spirit. Mm. And so does that Spirit mark my engagement with people? And then just put a period at the end. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Does my engagement with others, is that engagement marked by the Spirit?
I would put a question mark at the end, not a period at the end.
Well, a question mark.
Your point is still
The point is there's no but.
That's right.
But that person is
right.
But their view is
no exceptions.
But the world's coming to an end, so I must.
That's so good.
Do you see what I'm saying? Is there's no but to any of those.
You know,
is it this?
One thing that's happening right now, this is blowing my mind. We keep using the word culture, culture, culture. You know what we're actually saying is people, people, people.
Right. So true.
It's, culture isn't some thing out there that's like, it's people.
You brought us back to people, and I just want to bring us back to one atomic particle smaller, and that is person.
Mm.
And think, just don't get hung up in the world of culture and the world. There's so many people. Pay attention to the person in front of you.
Rob, why don't you put this in a frame for us?
Glad to. So we've talked about these three parts of the paradigm in light of the divided culture we're in. If there were just three words I'd want everybody to remember, it would be conviction, humility, and compassion. I think if you can grab onto those three simple ideas, it's going to help us answer the question, what does it look like to live the third way in a polarized, divided culture? We're going to have convictions, we're going to live those out with humility, and we're going to be moving compassionately toward people and every person.
That's right.
To Lloyd's point.
It's interesting to me that those are characteristics of a person walking in the third way, living the third way, is like, I'm a person of conviction. I'm a person of humility. These are compassion. These are characteristics that should mark my life and others around me should experience.
Very good.
As they engage with me and I engage with them. If they're engaging with me and they're like, what he really knows is Bible, but I'm not sure he loves me. Something's off there.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And again, I think about Jesus. I mean, they were amazed by his teaching. They said he teaches like someone with authority. That was his conviction. They were amazed by his humility. Mm. I mean, you know, think about it. He was God in the flesh, serving people, unreal. And then the compassion of Christ marked him, as we've already talked about.
So I don't know if you guys are like this, but I certainly need handles. I need, okay, I know these things. Now what do I do? How would you interact with that question? Now, what do I do? How can I apply some of this in my life?
Well, let me start here, and this is going to sound weird, so we'll have to unpack it. But the first thing we can do is break the algorithm. And all of a sudden, you're going, wait, I thought we were talking about divisiveness and everything else. You're not talking about algorithm. But I think we've all been aware of social media's impact enough. We've got enough. We've been in it long enough. Mm-hmm. The research is there. And I would say it this, I'd simply say it this way. And, you know, I think I said a couple Sundays ago, I don't want to go to legalism, but I'll say something strongly and then, you know, hold it with grace. But many of us are being discipled by an algorithm. And I think you know what I mean when I say that, in that those of us, you know, on social media, it feeds what we want to hear. And suddenly we're limited in what we hear. And suddenly we're in a box. And it's a box that's just our view and our side. And I can't encourage us enough to break the algorithm. Read wider. Don't take everything at face value. Listen to other sides, other opinions. Learn from someone you disagree with. And this just all roots back to what we've been saying the whole time. We're engaging with people made in the image of God.
So, I think all too often we're afraid to do that because maybe we're afraid, oh, if I listen to other viewpoints, maybe it'll cause me to doubt, or maybe it'll cause me to question what I really believe. This is where I take us back to is, let God's word abide in you as you do that. And Lloyd, I think that's such a good and important thing to do is read wider. I'd go to a second thing. So if the first one's break the algorithm, I think the second one is sit down and listen to someone who disagrees with you. And notice the word listen. We didn't say sit down and talk to someone who disagrees with you. They may ask you your perspective as well, but I think we have to start with listening.
Mm-hmm.
We're earning the right to speak, and not just that's not just the end goal is to speak. The goal is to love.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to express curiosity and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do that by listening first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. And being led by the Spirit in a listening situation.
Yes.
That right there is one of the hardest things to do as a believer because you want to speak, you want to step in, you want to like interrupt. And again, we go to like digging in our heels and defense and all those, that posture. But constantly asking the question, Spirit, what do you want me to hear?
Mm-hmm.
Use this conversation to teach me about you and how I can engage this world and this person.
Yeah.
One to one. It's just me and this other person.
Mm-hmm.
We're having coffee. We're talking about something that in the past has made my blood boil. How can I engage this person differently?
Yeah.
As I follow you in the third way.
Yeah. It makes me mindful of Paul's word in Ephesians, speaking of having this conversation, when he says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that's good for edification according to the need of the moment. Now, what would a conversation informed by that sound like? Probably fewer words, probably be a lot of listening and hearing, caring, and seeking to understand. Rob, you and I were talking earlier about, what was that quote about a disagreement that you really don't have one until it's clear what it is. I just love the way that was said.
The point was you don't have a real disagreement until you understand the perspective of the other person, until you can articulate back, this is what you believe.
Goodness.
You don't actually have a disagreement.
That's so good. I know.
Getting to that place where you can articulate back, and the only way that happens is by listening.
And sitting with that person.
Sit down and listen to someone you disagree with, not to try to convince them, but just to care enough about
them,
to hear them,
yeah,
to listen. And then, of course, our big picture, and this is the third thing I'd go to. So again, number one, break the algorithm. Number two, sit down and listen with someone you disagree with. And number three, I'd say keep the main thing the main thing. And part of what I mean by that is I think there aren't as many main things as we tend to think.
In our
day and time, it feels like everybody thinks every issue is the most important thing. And you and I can't disagree on something, Aaron, because if we disagree, it means we're not together. And the older I've gotten, the more I believe that the hills that I will die on are fewer and fewer. And that means they matter more. So, Lloyd, where you've reminded us in your recent messages, where the hill that John says he will die on is
Jesus is the Christ.
The incarnation of Jesus Christ. He's not just a man. He's not God without flesh. He is God in the flesh. And then that core truth is what makes everything else underneath it possible. And I just love the way John, he's just a Jesus guy.
Yes.
And I so appreciate that about him.
So as we wrap up, I want to go back to what a person who is walking in the third way, living out the third way, what does that person look like?
I think it's someone living their conviction with humility, engaging others with compassion. And again, that's a picture of Jesus engaging his world. Conviction, humility, compassion. And I think that's just a simple way to think about how we live as third way people in a divided world.
Thanks for listening to The Third Way. For more information about the cultural paradigm and to download additional resources to help you engage culture, visit fellowshipbiblechurch.org/third way. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you'll know every time we release a new episode. And remember, we are a people of the third way. Let's walk in the light, love without fear, and hold fast to the truth. For he who calls us is faithful.